Dr. Glenn Cannon?
Here.
Mike Booth?
Here.
Dave Woolery? Joe Paul?
Here.
Bill Lloyd?
Here.
Bill Carmen?
Here.
Mark Trimble?
Here.
Bill Jones?
That is? We have a form.
We do have a form.
Good, okay. We'll go on with this. Approval of minutes. We got the minutes on email.
There are four copies on the table. Does anyone need
to? Anyone move to approve or disapprove?
I'll move to approve just to be that.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That passed. Okay, old business. Any old business? I know of none. I've got a new business, but not an old business. Okay, we'll go right into the manager's report.
Okay. Thanks for coming again, gentlemen. Got several things to cover. Our fuel price is still stable. We actually sold more fuel this month than we did last year. But you might notice with a 77 cent return per gallon that it's still fairly difficult to make money selling fuel, aircraft fuel. To demonstrate that, you might notice the column of our local fuel prices on the right. The four at the bottom, of course, are the ones that I'd like to draw your attention to. The average.
Do you have a copy of that? That didn't come out.
Well, it has enough for everybody.
In the email, but I'm sorry.
There you go. Everyone have a copy? Okay. The average for 100 OLED in the Midwest is about $6.04 a gallon right now. And I that's what they posted, but I believe it probably is somewhat higher than that. But if you'll notice, Joplin is $5.34 a gallon. Joplin is still dealing with somewhat of a price war against Alpha Aviation. The city of Joplin allowed a few years ago Alpha Aviation to come in and compete with Mizzou there. So their price is really not relative to the going rate. They're constantly dealing with that little competition there on the field. And the three above that is us, the Branson Airport, and the Branson West Airport. You'll notice that the Branson Airport is keeping their price 20 cents a gallon below our counter price. And you already know that our net per gallon is 77 cents a gallon. So as we're a long ways away from that standardized dollar a gallon markup that we all used pretty much we all had in common for about 30 or 40 years. So that's where we are. We sold actually slightly more this year than July last year, but we're still making less money on it. For the month of July, we had a net loss of $356. Price of fuel, of course, being one part of that, but another reason for that was the prior month, last month, we had one person pay for multiple hangar lease payments. They were a $1,000 a month customer. They paid twice, so that means they're not paying this month. And two other customers took advantage of our annual discounted rate for hangar, so we had a fairly lucrative month last month because of that, but that's three people that we don't have in this month's hangar lease business. That would have amounted to a $1,425 net gain for us had that been a normal thing for us this month. So that, in addition to the price of fuel, is where we are for July. Capital expenditures for the month to Ewing Electrical was $193,065. We have a pending reimbursement from MODOT for $198,151. I expect that. So it's been very good about in a timely way. Any questions on the financials?
What do we get for, say, if they pay annually on the hangar space to get it? We give them a discount?
A 5% discount on it.
I missed that somewhere.
Well, we've discussed that in
a couple of 2-3 months ago.
I sent that email out as well, though. That email didn't go to you, though. That email went to customers. Okay. On the runway lighting project, we still have our retainage on Ewing and Garver. We're dealing with a little glitch, and really, we just can't explain it. I can't get around it at all, neither can they, but they're working on it. What we were dealing with the system is awesome. It's terrific. It's working great. The runway lights are great. They're sealed. It's a beautiful system. But the pilot-controlled lighting, or the radio controller, causes the regulators to engage when a pilot clicks the microphone 3, 5, or 7 times, depending on if you want low, medium, or bright runway lights. And we've been having a situation where someone will just talk one time, just key up the mic and talk, and the relays just chatter. The pilot controller is just signaling carrier brakes over and over. So they made changes, modifications. They put a new antenna, new coax, tightened all the adjustments, did everything that they know how. Then they ended up, we still had the problem. Seemed like it may have been better, but it still existed. And we thought, well, it's just happening with helicopters talking, but that wasn't the case. Fixed wing arrivals were causing it as well. And then now it seems like it's not happening anymore, except every time someone talks at Ava, and Ava's 35 miles away, but there's that direction. I have no idea if it's something to do with cell phone power. We don't know. But they sent the pilot, the radio controller, back to the company. The company did testing on it. They announced that it was out of spec, and so they made adjustments and equipment changes within and returned that to us. It's reinstalled now, and it's still doing it. It doesn't seem as though it's doing it as often. It's an intermittent thing. It certainly doesn't happen all the time, which is the worst kind of a glitch to have. Right now, they've requested that the company that deals, their supplier, send a technician here to work on it themselves on site here. That's where we are now. So it's frustrating to Ewing Electrical, because they're just the installer on that, and of course it's frustrating to us as well. But we spent a lot of money on that, and it's going to have to work right before they walk away and before they get their final 10%.
It doesn't turn the lights off.
No, it's well, we were standing right next to it one day with a little handheld unit when we were working on this thing. We switched its internal frequency to the RTR of the Springfield Pro every trend, because they talk frequently. You know, Springfield would talk frequently, and we could wait for it to happen. It didn't. I mean, every transmission from Springfield through the remote transmitter receiver was clear and solid, no problem. As soon as we switched it back to our frequency, 122.7, which Ava shared with us, someone flew into Ava and just talked one time, and the relays on both regulators were just chattering, low, medium, high, bam, bam, bam. And boy, we were thinking, wow, we got to get this turned off. You know, that's what it was doing. Now it seems as though it's doing it a lot less, but it's still doing it. It did it on Friday when we were standing there. Someone at Ava talked, the light came on bright, and it did it again yesterday. And so they're going to keep working on that until they figure out what's going haywire with it. That's where we are with that.
Is that daylight hours also?
I'm sorry?
Is that daylight hours also?
Yes, you can turn the lights on day or night with the carrier brakes on radio.
Right. and it's designed that way.
Yes, it's supposed to work that way. When you click the microphone three times quickly, it turns them on purpose. But in this case, people just key up the microphone once and talk, and they come on. But they just go to different levels even. So there's a problem.
My ignorance on aviation, but the fact is, supposed to be like in the daylight hours, why would you have the lights on if they can see them straight?
Well, you don't normally, and they don't normally turn them.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. They'll notice this also. Doesn't know whether it's a board member that they can get a timer or a relay or something that would make it work in the evening hours or even the light sensor that has darkness to a certain point would probably come off and on. You wouldn't have a constant use of electricity.
During the daytime?
Yes, the daytime, every night. But it's key. It's one time with asking the question.
Yes, that could be done if we have a timer on the system. And it's we also have a photoelectric eye on it as well. The system is designed so that they can come on and stay on at dusk by the electric eye. And then the timer would turn them off at some time like 10 p.m. It's designed that we can do that. And then, of course, the timer would or turn them back on at 5 a.m., and then the electric eye would turn them off at daylight. You know, it's designed so that can happen. But all the while, you can still turn them on daylight or dark by clicking the microphone several times. We need to be able to turn them on when we want, regardless of whether it's daylight or not. There's instrument meteorological conditions during the daytime that you need to be able to turn the lights on and stuff. Nevertheless, I mean, I can put a timer on it now to turn them off. Anyway, I can override that and turn them off during the daylight, but they still wouldn't be functioning correctly. And they need to do that before we finish paying them, I think.
Mark, are there any safety issues involved in this problem or confusion of pilots?
Not right now. The lights come on. If they didn't come on, that would be, we'd have to turn them on and leave them on until they get it fixed. But now, coming on isn't a problem. They once they do come on, a timer keeps them on for about 15 minutes. then they go off anyway. But there's no difficulty making them come on right now with the system the way it is. It's just keeping them from coming on. You're supposed to be able to talk and announce your positions without the lights coming on all the time. So they will keep working on that if they want their retainers. It'll get fixed. And they're desperate to get it done. They're just perplexed, same as I am on it. And, you know, I don't know what else, what could it possibly be? They put our old radio controller on it, and it did it. So we don't believe it's the radio controller. You know, even though theirs was out of spec, it was still doing this with our old radio controller on it, which makes me wonder, is there something about the new system of radio towers, cell phone towers, something between here and Ava? I don't know. But somebody with an electrical engineering degree is going to have to work on that, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Ewing had an underrun of $39,963 on materials, so that's going to save us about $40,000 there on the overall cost as well. And I'm asking MoDOT to allow us, as we have done in the past, you know, when we didn't spend all of our money on a prior grant, I got MoDOT to allow us to use that for sealing the runway. And so I'm asking them to let us apply this to our next grant as well. As a reminder, I have MoDOT's at least verbal support for our next grant to reconstruct all the asphalt on the west apron area of the airport. That should be about a $1.3 million project for 2016. And so if they allow us to apply this $40,000 toward that,
then it wouldn't make any difference to us as long as they're still funding the whole project. It might entice them to go ahead and grant us that funding.
Mark, since they lost that tax election, are they going to tighten up on us?
No. The monies that we use from MoDOT, it's a good question. The monies that we use from MoDOT are from a state trust fund that's funded by the taxes collected on the sale of jet fuel in Missouri.
Okay.
And
I wondered about that.
This goes back to a long time ago when the FAA, when Missouri became a block grant state, and the FAA allowed Missouri to dispense the federal funds to the Nippius Airport. But the FAA said you can't discriminate, and MoDOT wanted to, really. And so they wanted to give them what they believed to be funds to the more important airports and not necessarily less. So then what we got was we got the trust fund in Missouri that caused all of the taxes collected from the sale of jet fuel in Missouri to be earmarked into that trust fund for those people that don't get the federal funds. And since that's a separate trust fund funded by the sale of fuel, it doesn't seem to be affected by the highway and bridge monies. And that's why when so many people were done getting money from MoDOT, we continued to get our grants. Okay? I need a vote from you now on the next item. Chopper Charter's contract is up for renewal. And so I need you to decide whether you want to renew their agreement here or not. And also whether or not you wish to keep them at their current rate.
Is there anything wrong with our agreement, basically?
No, there hasn't been anything wrong with the agreement that I've seen.
I haven't heard.
But I'll let you know that they pay us $18,000 a year for the building that they occupy.
And buy fuel from us too, don't they?
Yes, sir. That's $1,500 a month that they pay, and that's what they've continued to pay since they've been here. 7 years, maybe, something like that they've been here, and that's been their rate, $1,500 a month.
Are they satisfied with the arrangement?
Yes, they are. They're not interested in a rate increase. I've never known anyone that was. But I think they're doing a fairly lucrative business on the Strip with their tours.
Well, they're squeezed by fuel costs like everybody else, though.
We discount their fuel, same as every other base customer. Our markup for them is 61 cents a gallon, or actually not a markup, that's our net per gallon, 61 cents. They bought $41,485 worth of fuel from us last year for 7,898 gallons. Our net on that was $4,991, which takes them to $23,000. That we got from them last year.
Do they pay their own electric bill?
Yes.
That's pretty good. I don't think we're going to rock the boat.
That comes out to, instead of $1,500 a month, that comes to $1,917 a month net that we receive from Shop Charter. So that's what I need from you now is your discussion and vote on contract renewal and rates.
Mark, if they were to leave us for any reason, what would we do with the building?
I don't have anyone asking for it right now, but you asked what I would do. I would go over and beg the Mercy people at Branson West to relocate here. They lease a hangar from us they use for their maintenance base now.
Why can't they relocate over here anyway?
Well, the... I can't speak for them on that, but it's not about why can't they. Number one, we need a place for them. If that's your question, we need them. They need living quarters, cooking quarters. It's like a firehouse for them.
What about our old terminal down there? Would that be altered to accommodate?
They're not very interested in that. Roof leaks and
And we could rejuvenate it if it was an attractive offer.
They also need to be on, they want to be on the highway. They want their helicopters to be visible from the highway. We can make that happen. We can chop down some of these trees down here and pour them a pad right here just south of the runway if it came
They're sure not visible over there where they are.
Well, all right. The thing is, we need Chopper Charter.
If you look at the past 6 to 7 years as the cost per square foot of any rental, and I'm not 100% sure of aviation, but my best guess is it has not increased any. If any, it's probably decreased as far as the square footage rental properties.
I would agree, at least for the last 5 years, for sure.
If we get into that part of, where we see that inflation happen, maybe probably ought to address it, but I'm not too sure now would be the appropriate time to go in and want to increase anybody's square footage if the market's not going to bear
that. I certainly agree.
Well, what kind of lease are we talking about?
What kind of what?
What's the time of the lease?
They're up at the end of this month.
Is it a 1 year lease, 2 years?
It's an annual agreement.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Yes. Can I ask your question?
Well,
at some point in time, I think you have to look at it and wait to see if it's going to be.
I move that we renew
whatever you're
charter.
Doing. But
okay, we have.
I'm not too sure that's happening now.
Excuse me, buddy. And we have a motion on the floor to continue the lease as is. Anyone in second? Okay, all in favor?
Let's discuss. Whoa. Let's discuss this some more. I think we need to get on the floor, but. Is there any advantage to them or to us or to both parties to do a multiple year lease?
They've not asked for one, but it would save me somewhat if they could do that. I like them. I have enjoyed having them here, and we have experienced no difficulty with them. They are a good gasoline customer, and I wouldn't mind a multiple year lease with them. Where it would save me is in trips back and forth to the commission. Because I will convey your recommendation to them. Got to get on their agenda every year to do this, and so it will save me doing that every year.
Is their gas discount or markup or whatever? Is that part of the lease contract? Is it an overall one contract? So their gas, they could theoretically buy their gas.
They could
south if they wanted to.
They could. They could do that. It's not, the fuel isn't part of their agreement with us. I think they know that if they didn't support the airport that they call home, they probably have a problem next contract renewal. And I have no indication that they've bought fuel anywhere but here. And we give them also, they couldn't get it cheaper, I don't believe. We give them, our base customer discount is always cheaper than the self-serve price at Branson West. That's where we keep that. So they couldn't beat us if they did go somewhere else. But I'd be surprised if they tried to go anywhere else.
Well, it has to be a pretty good savings. Or you can't afford to take a plane over, land it, fuel, take it off, and come back over here. That's expensive.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Joe, would you be interested in an amendment to this motion that Mark offered them a 2-year lease instead?
May I add that we offer a 3-year lease to Avis now.
Okay.
Well, I think it's a good, that's why I want some discussion.
We ought to caveat that we, even if we can't pin them down on it, we want to put in there a request that they purchase their fuel from us. Because if we do it annually, that kind of kept them lined out that in case they went somewhere else, we do it 3 years and we don't have any leverage on that. You're right.
Well, what's to keep us from jumping to 20 cents a gallon? I'm trying to be the devil's advocate. I would have a little problem if I were on the other end.
Yeah, I think I would.
I've got difficulty with giving them a price lock. Yeah. We've got some.
I don't know. You do a price lock, but you could still do a price above where whatever that is.
Above cost.
If you know you're going to buy it, 70 cents, and you're going to sell it 140, it'd be 40% or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just a percentage increase. You could address that. I'm a little bit with Phil. If you're going to go to, you have somewhat of a hammer on a 1 year.
That's true.
If you go to a 2-year, I'd sure hate to sign that and all of a sudden we lose the gas sales. But
we're trying to reinvent the wheel. I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, that's the next question would be, if we're going to consider the 3-year, why? Why do we want to do that? If there's something in it for us, then I can see why we want to, say, look at something different like that. Right now, it would save me from dealing with this, like I said, once a year, but that's just me, and that doesn't really count. What's in it for the airport? I don't see that yet.
No, you're right. Nothing in it for us.
The only other option you could do, and I don't know that you want to open the can of worms, and that is in the economy where eventually prices will be going up, we lock you in at 1 year at X number of dollars per square foot, or we'll give you a 3-year lease at a little bit higher, but it guarantees you that price for 3 years in the event prices are going up. Don't know that that's going to happen over the next 3 years, but it is something that...
Well, 1 year is working. We've not had any problems.
Might want to keep it there.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor.
Good discussion, though. Good discussion.
Yeah, good one, yes.
I'm glad you did that.
Okay, all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Nope. Continue as is.
Appreciate the discussion.
Yeah. That was a good one.
So you voted to renew their lease at the current rate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One other thing here from Joanne Boyer. She is the face on Top Charter, in case you didn't remember that. She's offering for another company. She didn't tell me who, but I believe it's the people that fund them with Pilatus. I won't mention their name since she didn't tell me who they are. But another company wants to give us $100,000 for a 20-year lease on Hangar 4B, the one hangar we have available at this time. This would be a 20-year lease. The things that...
what's going to go in it? PC-12, did you say?
PC-12, yeah. Right. Yes, sir. The things that that come to my mind right away is that it's tough to produce an out clause if you give someone a 20-year lease. It gives them a sense of ownership for the hangar once you do that, and you lose considerable control when you do that. The second thing is $100,000 isn't what $100,000 used to be. That comes out to $416 a month for a unit that we currently receive $1,000 a month for. All right? So if we were going to consider such a thing, we'd be looking at twice that, you know, $2,000. Or $200,000 would still be less than $1,000 a month on that unit if we were to do that. And so anyway, I told her I would pass that on to you since you get to make that call. If you think we need $100,000 to lease a hangar for 20 years.
Well, understand one problem there. If anything ever happens to this airport, this property reverts to the college. And where would we be on a 20-year obligation?
Well, where would they be?
Yeah, where would they be? That sounds like an impractical idea. 5 or 10 years might be worth considering.
I see that that's where I am with it. Just so you know, I'm not interested in it. It's your call, of course. But they have the option of leasing it out for $1,000 a month if they wanted it.
Yeah.
You know? And they're wanting, for some reason, they want a 20-year control lease.
Just charter?
I'm sorry?
Just charter or personal?
No, it would have to be personal. We couldn't tolerate a commercial enterprise there without a separate agreement. And they couldn't sublet it. We couldn't allow them to sublet it or operate a commercial operation with a mere hangar lease.
Can you charter it on the side?
Well, we're interested in commercial operations. It just requires a separate agreement, and the airport has to generate revenue from that. The same as we do Avis and Chopper Charter, you know. So that's the difference between a hangar lease and a commercial agreement that I take to the commission.
Is there any input on that?
Present value of $100,000 at today's rates is not going to even come.
No.
It's not even going to be feasible. For
no, it's too low an offer.
Yeah.
So there's nothing on that. Is that correct? Good.
Well, if you want to counter back, then we'll do it for 3 years or or 5 years or whatever that term, where if you want to work it out and figure out what it is.
A discount for 3 to 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, you give us $100,000, we'll let you have it for, I don't know.
Well, it'll be 5 years, $12,000 a month.
Right now, I'm offering it to them for $1,000 a month. Another rate that, if you're interested in a different rate, I can convey that to them.
So 5 years, give them $900 a month. I don't know.
We could give them $800 or $900 for 3 year lease, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just talking out loud. I'm looking at
your 5% would be $950 though. Yeah. You know,
it gets more difficult to get rid of someone the longer lease you give them as well. You got to really kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the lease and the rate is negative on that offer. So.
Well, the door is open. We may negotiate with them at some point down the line, but that is not an adequate offer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It'd be nice to have their field business, though.
That's right.
Sure. I agree with that.
Well, I'd say we'll try, but that's too low.
Okay. I need to announce that your chair wishes to postpone officer elections. They're due at this meeting. This is August, and you always elect your officers in August. He has indicated to me that he's not interested in chairing again. And he's not interested in chairing because he will have less time available due to medical issues for himself and his wife. And he wants, by postponing the elections, he wants you to take the time to decide whom among you would be interested in chairing the board. And vice chair. You have three officers. You have chair, vice chair, and secretary that you have to elect.
I've got several thoughts on that subject I'd like to go into real. Now, Dave's wife has cancer. She's having a cancer operation today. And Dave lost his medical, so his interest has diminished. But I've got some serious thoughts on this, too. I've been vice chairman for how many years, I don't know. But I think we have something basically wrong with our board. I'd like you commissioners to listen to what are my thoughts. We have three board members appointed by the cities around us. We have seven board members, and they rotate so many years. And the point of this board, and this means no discredit to our management whatsoever. That's not my point, Mark. But the way a board should function, this board should be doing the job for the commissioners in overseeing the operation of this airport. The board should be picked by the commissioners. Totally their decision. Should not be made by management. And like I say, no discredit to Mark. An example would be College of the Ozarks. Dr. Clark was instrumental in picking the board members for how many years? Do you remember? He had great influence over the board. So it became a large social club. The board should be totally independent from management or anyone else. And we should function at the discretion of the commission. Now, I'm not, in theory, not a good board member because I've known Mark since he was a kid in college. And I've known Terry since she was a waitress at Dead Lobster years ago. So, in theory, that would make me biased. Am I? I don't know. I don't want to comment on that. But I would certainly wish you commissioners would take a long look at this and pick board members that are good business people, good business heads, that can help to oversee the operation of this airport. Don't take a recommendation from Mark. Don't take a recommendation from me, perhaps from the board as a whole. I don't know that. I think we depend on your decision to send us the people that are most capable of running a business.
Before we get into that discussion, I think really what we want from the commissioners today, board members, we've had an open discussion the last couple of meetings. We need some direction from you, what you want of us.
Yeah.
That's the first thing, and then that will be part of it. How do we recommend for your all's approval on the future board members? That's just part of it. Are we responsible for giving Mark an annual review? Nobody is. We need some direction from the commissioners on what you want from us.
We are here representing you guys.
That's exactly the way the airport board. I'm not sure there shouldn't be some change in this, because this was from the very beginning. It was a startup program which was very fresh, all of us, the responsibility. I think we have had a great board. As you well know, for the first 3 years of your operation, I was here at almost every meeting. And then we got a schedule change that conflicted with, and still do today. We come over today to listen, but I think we have a great board. Now, on the subject that you brought forward, I think that a recommendation from board members by the board is a good thing, because you know people that are in the industry as far as what you do. As far as us, if we had someone else that was, it being a rather large board, if we had someone that we thought should be on the board or could be on the board, then we would make that appointment. We have made some people terribly mad because they were replaced on a board that they had sat on for a period of time and had become a Me Too person. I don't see that on this board, of the Air Force Board. You all are individuals, and you all speak with your own mind. And even in discussion, as you sit here and listen, you hear all different viewpoints, and that's what a board is supposed to be about. Now, as long as you follow the rule of law as far as bidding and all those kind of things, we don't worry about it with the board that you get now. We don't worry about those issues because you're conscious of it. But we have other boards that don't function that way that we have problems with. But I can't say, and I don't know that is Jim resigned from this board yet, Jim Youngblood?
Yes. Well, he's up for renewal right now, Mark, or last month, one or the other. He's decided
on another board, Transportation Board, and he has... he wants to spend some time, and I don't blame him. A great board member. We put him on whatever board he would serve on because he has intelligence, common sense, which is very hard to find when you start looking for board members. You find qualified people. But as I sat and listened to you, this board operates just exactly the way it did for the 3 years that I was here every meeting. Each of you have an opinion. Now, picking out a new board member, I think that those should be, as others are, when they send the qualifications of a board member or someone that on the board, should be voted on by this board to send as a recommendation to us. And don't send, like, for one member. Send three or four applicants for the same job.
Okay.
That's the way we've
I've never quarreled with that idea at all.
One of the issues we have is it's hard to get people to serve on this. And so, pretty much every commission meeting we have, at least once a month, we'll please with the media, please get this out that we need a representative to attain county planning zoning for the Frank Commission and the Visa Commission. And they say they do, I know it's called 15 months. So on a board like this, because it is a little more specialized, the requirements are a little bit different, and you have to have an interest in my opinion in PGA. We're not going to know about this as much as you guys probably do, or just being in the ministry. So you're going to have a bigger sphere of influence in the full time to make those recommendations. I don't disagree with what you said at all, though, as far as managing my fingers on the process.
Well, I've sat on boards all over this town, and in fact, all over the state, and I've got a great deal of respect for this board. It's functioned well, as you've observed. But that's the way it's supposed to be done. That's, this board is supposed to oversee the operation of the airport. And it's really not fair for them to be personal friends of management. It's a matter of principle. As actually, it's functioned okay here. I've got no quarrel with the way it's operated. Mark and I have gotten along perfectly well. No complaints. But in the future, that doesn't want to work. I have no quarrel at all with this board sending you recommendations. And I think that we can do that. But now, next meeting, we have to elect a new president and a new vice president, or chairman and vice chairman, and secretary. Isn't that correct?
By your bylaws, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I want you all to think about that. We pin the tail on the donkey next month. Which one of you wants the job?
I'd like to relay something. Mr. Houseman had to leave because his wife was ill.
Oh.
And visibly shaken, so he wants to send his apologies to the board for leaving the meeting.
Yeah, I wish he'd been here for this conversation, but that's all right.
Ron was in the emergency room with his wife yesterday, and so today, Ron was in the emergency room with his wife yesterday.
Oh,
he just received a phone call, and so he had to leave in a hurry. He wanted to sit here and listen to this great conversation that you guys are having, but he visibly was shaken when he leaned over here and told me that he had to.
Yeah, well, just relay this information to him.
And we will, and when you have as many board members as you have on this board, and everybody's present, you have so many different viewpoints from intelligent men and women, or women, that I don't worry about the function of this board. I never have had to, because I attended and I've seen the way it worked.
Yeah.
And I've seen the, I use it hard-headedness or strong-headedness. And the willing also to give when you're outvoted 3-4 or 3-5 or whatever to give on those parts. But I also know that we have, I would tend not to really have it that way, as to have a board that just unifiably dead, as Mr. Hall said, let's go into discussion about this. There was a good discussion about it. You come up with an agreement. And you voted on it. It passed unanimously. Sometimes those things don't happen that way. But still, yes, that is the operation of a good board. And we have had other boards in the county that we had to remove people from because they became a rubber stamp to the administrator or to the personnel themselves. And when we removed them, you thought we were villains. You know, and maybe we were, but that's our job. And so that's the way I feel about this board. It's been a great board to listen to and be involved with and to work with.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, Lord knows we haven't rubber stamped anything yet, have we? I don't remember.
So yes. Can I bring up, okay, so from the commissioners, we need a little more direction there. What?
Yeah.
We understand that part, and you're right, Danny. Those are old canned bylaws. We do need to update them because it doesn't even address how the board is perpetuated. So we need to update that part of it. What about Mark review of the personnel department in the county? Do they want to do that review? You guys want to do a review, or you want the board to do it for you?
What I think you should do, and this is just my opinion, because for the commission, I think you should go into executive session and discuss personnel at least once a year. We have an HR department over there that could be utilized. She could come forward and listen to your concerns, and then at that point, what do you take, a vote by ballot or by verbal? That would be perfectly fine. And also, Phil, I think that on selection of board members, we need the help that you supply for the board members. But I don't want one person sent over saying this is the guy we want. If you're going to send applicants over, you might put down A, B, and C and give us their qualifications and let us be a decision maker. I have a preference on one, but let us be a decision maker on that part of it, and it takes it off of your shoulders.
Okay.
To answer your question, I would assume that we know market capacity for the board to send us as far as daily operations. What you guys will know today, I can't see if there's an email, but as far as that, sitting and discussing, no one's going on. So I would, in person, I would look to the board to take either the compliments and the concerns that we have, either what he's doing great as far as the industry. So I guess I would look to the board to do the review and give us some recommendations. Now, that doesn't mean that can change. Maybe we need to have a more hands-on approach. I tend to not want to micromanage because there's so many different things going on with the commission, what are the responsibilities,
Well, as a board member, I think we need to get some clarification on that because we haven't been doing that. And you haven't been doing that, so nobody's been doing it. So that's why we need to determine who is.
I have a question. This question of appointments brings up a related question to me. Does the airport manager have a job description? A formal job description?
Yes.
Who wrote it?
Myself and HR in company.
Okay. So I want to know. How many have read it?
Approved by the commission.
Pardon? Have we read it?
Back at the beginning.
We maybe have seen it, but I don't remember.
Yeah. You're right. When we were making selection of
I couldn't tell you the details.
Yeah.
Okay. It was based on the original contract I had that I was brought in under.
Yeah.
And HR modified it to suit what she says is regulations. Everyone in the county now has a job description. Mm-hmm. And I presume that the commission has approved each of those.
Were appointments in that description?
Well, I'm no longer under an appointment. My contract was pulled.
I meant your power of appointment. Were they in the job description?
My power of appointment?
Yeah.
I think you need a board member.
The commission appoints board members.
You recommend, though.
I've always been asked. Every year that I've been here, I've always been asked if we have a willing candidate for the board and who they might be.
That was my point. I don't think he should.
I agree.
Yeah. I think it's a conflict. You're right.
I think we have to be careful. You know, the airport board to make recommendations as well, because there are bylaws that gives the airport board members charge of establishing fees, and charges, and rates at the airport, then it can be a conflict of interest for a board member to also be an airport customer.
Yeah.
I can give you examples there as well. 2 years ago, this board went up on single engine hangar rates and no one else. And there were customers here that were excluded from that rate change, while hangar rates did go up on single engine customers. And so those are things that these board members would necessarily need to recuse themselves from on voting if we were talking about rate change. And if a board member was to make a recommendation and choose their friends that would help side with them on how votes are done, then there could be a conflict of interest there. That's the reason I was pleased to hear the commission state just now that a collective voice of the board, if all board members and even management was included in this discussion as we consider new board appointees, then we could cover those conflict of interest issues in making a collective recommendation.
I personally don't see anything wrong with Mark having input. The final authority is left to the commission. I think, you know, he's always brought, you know, his insightfulness to the board, and if he's, I mean, he could know something about this person that we don't on a day-to-day basis. So I don't see anything wrong with him having input.
Nothing wrong with input, but well, the recommendations should come from the board as a whole.
I am a resident aviation professional on Taney County staff at this point, and that's just how that is. But right now the commission they have an online application for their board appointees, and I believe anyone can apply to serve on boards. And anyone can make a recommendation to support those candidates right now.
Question here, Mark. I haven't read this thoroughly. Do we have any board members up for replacement at this time?
Yes. Youngblood has stepped down from the board, and so he is due to be replaced. This is only the second time we've needed to replace a board member since in the 9 years we've been here. Bill Jones was appointed by the commission to replace member Lawson a few years back. I asked him if he'd be willing to serve on the board, and the commission appointed him based on that, I believe. This is the, only the second time we've needed. Everything has been a new appointee, and today, every year that one of you has been up for reappointment, the commission, at least one member, has asked me about my view on your performance.
Okay, we have a time life on this board, but in most cases we've been reappointed. Is that correct?
In all cases so far, if you've been willing.
Yeah, I think that's
willing.
Right. Okay, so we need to give a recommendation to the board or to the commissioners for a replacement for Jim Youngblood. I think we ought to think on that and have a few recommendations by the next meeting, as well as come up with a new slate of officers at the next meeting. Isn't that correct?
That would be true.
I think that's
how are we going to discuss this? Emails amongst ourselves?
We can discuss them.
We'll all have
we can discuss them here.
Can we bring a recommendation?
No, just come with someone on your mind.
But what if there's nine different recommendations?
We'll sort them out.
That would be nice to have that meeting.
I think we'll be lucky to have
one. We won't.
We're going to have trouble getting multiple.
Yeah.
Well, would you send out your job description to all of us again so we can put it in my spot? Because I don't remember either.
I can do that.
Thank you.
I don't remember what it looked like.
HR keeps that, but I've got a copy I can send to you.
Thank you.
I'd love to look at it.
Every time that they have a development or disabled board, and every time that we appoint members for that, there's like four or five people, including the ones that are up for renewal. And their applications, some of them, when they present their resume to us, it'll be a couple pages long, some of them. And it gives us an opportunity to review new applicants and the old applicants. And like I said, we make those appointments just like we would on this board, according to basically job performance and what they've done and what they offer. And I've had no problem with what has taken place here so far. I just think that the board should be the ones that send us multiple applicants if you can. If it's two, three, four, and then let us choose as a board, because really it's your board and you operate, but it's our face and our people that they call whenever there's some problem. And so that's the way we look at it. So
a question earlier, Connor, what's the traditional or the regular term that you do employ evaluations with the county? Is it a certain date, or is it an anniversary date, is it the first year?
It's an anniversary date, usually.
Mike, it's a
which one, excuse me?
What would the commissioners like to see as a renewal date?
You know, I'm assuming you guys just would do the evaluation on Mark and then he would do the evaluation on all the other employees.
Mm-hmm. I presume. I don't know.
It's never been discussed yet, but my assumption would be that some of you guys decide it probably be an annual or as far as the date. We start budget time in September, October. So if there's issues that we need to know about that deal with the budget, we'd be good to know September, October.
I think, and Mark, maybe you have input. If the charge of this board is going to do a performance review,
once a year, we need to identify when that's going to be so we can get prepared for it as well, rather than saying, oh, it's time, yeah, great, you know. I would presume you
would have a question at this point that you actually started to ask, and I'd like to know, is the commission aware of another review process on any county employees?
We had review processes. My personal opinion, I think, is the commission is not utilized. I know those very specifically, yeah, they are done.
Well, we need to depend on your all to tell us what you want us to do.
Well, again, with this specific instance, I would say last quarter, knowing that what we have going on budget-wise, anything that has to do with any of those types of things, if it's done last first of last quarter, then we'll kind of know what we're thinking for the next year.
Do you have a contract, Mark?
No,
annual contract.
I was brought in under a contract and held it for 3 years, and then the commission pulled it.
Okay, here it is. So he's ready.
I'm just a plain old grunt. I can walk away anytime I want.
That hasn't been that long ago, has it?
It's been 9 years.
I'm thinking when you became an employee of the county rather than a contract.
I'm sorry? The contract was in 2005.
And when did... for some reason, I'm thinking that just happened the past few years ago, that you became an employee of the county.
Well, transitioned into that when we didn't renew the contract.
2008, beginning of 2009, somewhere along in that 6 years.
Related question, your employees, do you do reviews on your employees?
It's not an annual review. It's difficult to do an annual review for the kind of staff that I have. When I was in collegiate employment, I naturally went under a two-phase intensive review annually, where you're presented a review that you keep up, and you announce what you're going to accomplish this year, and then you're looked at as far as how you accomplish those, and then that has to do with you getting raised, is what it comes down to, or tenure, and so that's not done here with this staff, but I do keep a personnel folder on each of my staff, and I update it periodically if necessary.
Okay.
A lot of what we do is actually training, so training is always going on. There's less of it now since there's no real turnover, but I do keep a personnel folder on everyone.
You see, I would think the county personnel person would be in that. Everybody's in the county, they're responsible for us a little bit.
Here's one of our issues, just to kind of give you a little bit of that. So we did the commission as a whole, and every elected official, they wanted to have a policy book. So it comes all policies, draft policies, your team, it's just all the different policies that are involved. Whenever an elected official, and we're all in the same meeting, and whenever an elected official didn't like something that everybody else agreed on, that elected official would say, well, I'll just take that as a recommendation, if you can't make any policy. So even though 12 of the 13 elected officials all agreed on it, he can't make that one elected official do anything, because that's an elected official, they run their office. So there's different dynamics that we have to deal with as far as why policies aren't done, why reviews aren't done, why all these different things aren't done. And that's a lot of the friction and all the problems that we're seeing today, that I see.
So really, then, HR and the control that I think you're discussing only goes as far as me and other road and bridge direct employees of the county commission.
Mm-hmm. So if the assessor's office, if he wants to let them wear flip-flops and pink ponytails, there's not a darn thing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are wearing flip-flops. But, so just to let you know, that's kind of stuff that we do and why there is so much structure about it. Because you have internal pilots and struggles that
well, your HR person though should have a review or a file on Terry here though. He sounds like Mark's been keeping it, but that person would be the keeper of it, I would think, wouldn't it? I would think. That's why you would have an HR. One of the things you
have. Have you guys ever been to the executive session to discuss personnel?
Have you ever done that?
No.
You have the ability to. I think it's a once a year good idea to do that and evaluate personnel as a board. If you have concerns, report it. If not, you've had it, and go on. But that is gives you the opportunity to feel. I mean, that's part of your job duty as a board member. And now, you can call HR over when you sit in on that meeting and let her hear your concerns. If you don't have any concerns, you think things are going right, but there's nothing better than to have evaluation that's good. I mean, and right now, you know, I think you're going to have an evaluation that's good, but each employee is going to be evaluated. And we get, I'm going to give you an example, and it may sound strange from what just happened, but you read in the newspaper about us having too many executive sessions. That's a ridiculous statement made by the presiding commissioner, elect, that's coming in. That's what he campaigned on. Every time he came before the county commission, he asked to go into executive session for his employees. But still, he makes an issue in the news media about executive sessions. That's what it's there for. The rules, there's 23 reasons, according to our attorney, that you can go into executive session. Anytime you discuss litigation, property, even contracts with this life, all that. If you go into executive session and discuss that, and so it's a tool of government to be able to allow you to open up and have discussions about issues. If you want to find yourself in a lawsuit, you mention names outside of executive session, and in today's world, they'll file a lawsuit.
So where does
it let's just explain a little part of that, and HR can help you with it. Mr. Houseman was the best that I've ever seen, too.
But we'll have to adjust the little procedural difference.
I redo this, Phil. Yeah. You mentioned about this being out of date. I did do this whole thing. There's some good things in here, but I would redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, I do like the idea of, I mean, if we're charged with doing a performance evaluation again, not negative, could be positive, could be, you know, whatever you want to know. But I do like the idea of having your HR person come over and join in.
You betcha. That's what I was saying. We want that person.
That would be because, you know, to cover ourselves and to help Mark and, you know, performance evaluations have a negative connotation that's been put out there, but they're not. They're supposed to be positive.
Right.
And,
building blocks, right.
That's we go through a lot of them at the bank and at City Hall. We go through a lot of performance evaluations.
Yeah. Okay. Good discussion. We appreciate you for a better idea of what we're doing. This was a good meeting.
I have one more thing.
Okay. What's that?
Your last page. Is the budget request is due by the end of this month. This is my best estimate on our budget request for next year. So now you have a copy. If you have input, let me know.
When do we vote on this?
You don't, unless you want to.
That's it. We accept it.
So Mark, the 2014 or just year to date, I guess, figures.
The 2014 or the first 6 months of the year. It's not to date. It's actually through the end of July. It says in the upper left corner, July 31st.
So earlier in our meeting, you said something about MoDOT. We were kind of in line for another grant, but you're not putting that on your budget? Or?
That's for 2016, once again.
Plus a year later.
If we receive that additional $1.3 million grant for asphalt reconstruction, that will be for 2016. And so this year we have no capital projects with MoDOT planned for next year. We still need the $10,000 in the capital projects in order to cover our $10,000 reimbursement from the city of Branson.
Now, say that again.
Well, we receive a $10,000 reimbursement from Branson for goods and services provided with a 5-year lifespan. Well, that fits into capital, some sort of a capital project.
Okay.
You know, and so that's why that $10,000 is in there.
All right.
We have to, in order to receive that $10,000 money from Branson, we present them with invoices and a paid check for things that we purchased.
Okay. Any
I got a question on this. Number one, why are these numbers in brackets up here on the income?
That's it's a negative value showing income.
We've had the same argument.
I don't quite understand that.
Well, in order to
sounds add, like saying it's hot outside, therefore it's cold.
In order to add an income to an expenditure, they need to be negative and positive.
There are some disagreements in our auditors.
So you're talking about we've got $483,500 projected income for next year. Is that what you're telling me?
That's my best estimate.
Okay,
right,
you got $481,675 in expenses.
That's correct.
Well, then, why is the net in negative below it instead of. Why does it have
the net
right?
Is an income. It's $1,825.
I have looked at it. We argue every year that you cannot.
Well, you normally get in bracket, it's a negative.
Last stage, Brandon.
You cannot.
Yeah, that's what I was.
I've never seen that before.
That's
to the positive then.
That's income. It's not money spent, not actual.
That's actually income of $1,800 next year, projected.
That's correct.
That's what happens if you don't know how to use Excel really well.
Well, obviously, I don't.
No, obviously. Never mind.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
I was just close. Do you anticipate, and I would just rough figure from 13 over to 15, you anticipate our cost of goods sold going down on gasoline just a little bit?
I really do. I'm not sure on that, but what I do, I primarily look at the prior year. That's the first thing I look at, but that's not the only thing I can get away with on this. I've really been very successful so far with this budgeting by looking primarily at the prior year, but then also looking back at the next year and then comparing that to what the first 6 months did this year last, the last thing I take into consideration. And we did sell more gas in July than we have, but I still see our gallonage continuing to decline unless I'm wrong on that, and I'd like to be wrong. That's why, also, I like to use conservative numbers on this, and if I can, and on the incomes at least.
Well, the end of July, you must have had, the tanks must have been low because you were at a 44% cost at that point. So I was under the assumption.
That's a hard thing to,
hard number to
look
grab.
At.
Yeah.
Because we use cost of goods in the P&Ls that I give you, which gives you an estimate of cost of goods against a monthly income. But on this annual budget, it really factors in the auditor's reports on the monies we spent on fuel. And if I don't plug in up here, see up in the income line, I have a line for end-of-year inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the commission doesn't like having a number there, even though we may have, and we do have now, $87,000 sitting in that fuel tank. I'm not showing that to you.
Yeah.
So if I put the $87,000 in this line, it would show up down there in addition to that $1,825. The thing is, it's real money, and it's sitting in that tank right now. It will sell for more than we spent on it, but it's actually dollar bills sitting in the tank, but it's not showing up on your report.
Now, well, I was just doing
that. I hope that describes why that number can vary.
Well, I was just going through the percentages of cost of goods on specifically fuel and the fuel sales is what I was looking at to come up, and that's why I presume we had some sales and had not bought any because of the that's I understand that. I don't know. Yeah, that's good.
We
it's like an account receivable that's always there.
Yeah, well, according to our sales, we had more sales than we had cost of goods, so we obviously have reduced the tank.
Yeah.
And got the sales, but we have not had an expenditure to go buy new gas.
Yeah.
So that's well.
If we just bought fuel, then our fuel line
would be
way up. Yeah. But our income line hasn't responded to that, and that's how it works. Unless, like I say, if I put an inventory line right there, which I usually have done, I just didn't do it this year because
understand. Very good.
The budget, you explained to us what's the difference in capital, so it looks fine.
Historically, you've done a pretty good job on this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question? This is back on payroll question again. You budgeted payroll, you budgeted an increase or a merit increase, I guess. Do you get that percentage from the county?
No, I didn't.
The county approve a certain percentage of a payroll increase? They do every year, don't they? I think.
We. That article discussion.
I did not budget an increase on payroll. I used to take care of the pay raises for the staff, but the commission assumed that responsibility 4 or 5 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
And so if they present a raise, it'll be up to them. And I think it's ended up, when it's happened, it's only been every 4 or 5 years here lately with the economy like it's been. And so I'm not counting on a pay raise.
Did you get one this year?
No. You want to talk about that?
We'll next meeting.
not very many people came down here. Okay. Very good discussion. Any other discussion?
Did the employees get a raise this last year?
Did you guys? Yeah, we got a cash. It was a cash increase, not a percentage increase.
$1,500. That's a one-time thing, then. Is that what you're saying?
No.
It's been since you've been there.
No, it's one time per year.
Correct.
We call that a bonus.
We went. We went for like. You recall it was like 5 years without a raise. 3 years. 3 years without a raise, and then 2 years.
Let me straighten this out for you. Employees, the year that they didn't get what they assumed they didn't get a raise, the loggers was increased, which is something that they could not even compare. There's no way that the loggers amount could we ever give a raise to the employees for their benefits of what the loggers increase of retirement was.
That's correct.
Giant increase through their retirement program. That year, you heard employees say we didn't get a raise. I'm not talking about these employees, I'm talking about other employees. When they got the largest raise that they could possibly ever get. The next year, we give, I believe it was a 65-cent raise, which turns out to be somewhere around $1,200, $1,250.
1249.
Something like that. So this last year, we give a $1,500 raise. So there was only a period of 3 years, I think, in when it was really on a downturn that county employees did not receive a raise. But on that third year, when they received that logger, they didn't, unless HR called them in and explained every detail to them, they didn't understand that it was the largest raise given by the county probably ever.
We've got a city employee that's married to a county employee, and they're both on loggers, and when they made that change, when those two retire, his check will be double what hers is.
Yes.
That's how big it
was. Oh, it is. I argue for it, believe me. Terry got to hear me campaigning for that tremendously. Most of the employees at the time were complaining they wanted a 2% raise instead of that loggers thing when it came up. They're not even comparable, you know. The loggers thing was one of the best things that the county did for its employees.
Do they approve that?
I haven't heard that.
Does the county approve that?
Does the county what?
Accrue that?
Yes.
So there's a separate fund set aside for that for 20 years down the road.
It actually goes into a loggers.
Into loggers, and they take care of it, but it's the county's expense.
The yearly expense that's put in there by the county, physically put in.
Yes.
They have to, if it's like the schools, you have to fund. It's not, you really.
Well, you understand why I asked the question.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not going to hopefully run into GM and move the trade
What? I'm going to wrap it up.
Randy was talking.
One of the things that we do is we give the employees $100 towards their retake, all of their medicine, the employee, plus we give them $100 towards their family's medicine. Mm-hmm. So, again, things that people don't look at is, if we didn't pay $100, then, well, I got $100 cash. $100 cash, by the time they pay my taxes, then it's
not. But the benefits package is what you got in that.
Mm-hmm.
Most places are 85th the counties pay 80%, and the employer pays 20%. We have went a step farther. We cover full employee benefits plus 100% on their family.
$100
towards the family, which is a great deal. You never hear the positive side of what we do, but you sure hear the negative.
I know how that works.
You don't understand.
Sorry, I didn't mean to blame
you. I'm sorry.
No one here is complaining about their pay, by the way. I'm happy to be paid.
Well, the board members aren't real excited about their pay, but we'll let it slide this year.
Well, we can continue an informal discussion. Can we hear a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
Everybody in favor, get up and leave.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.